You're listening to Leadership Powered by Common Sense with your host, Doug Thorpe. Here's Doug.
Hello again, everyone. This is Doug Thorpe, and you are listening to another episode of Leadership Powered by Common Sense. We're the show that tries to help you as a business leader or influencer in your community to do it a little better and show up in a more effective way for others around you. Today, our topic is a hot one that I think leaders often struggle with. It's about listening. And as I was prepping for this, I thought to myself, how often have you found yourself in a situation you're talking to somebody and you know they're not listening to you, and you know, you can see it in their eyes, you can see it in their body movements and body motions that they're either thinking about the next thing they want to convince you of, or they're just not there. They're off somewhere else. So my guest today is going to help us understand that dynamic a little more. He's written a book on it, and his name is Stan Slovin. Stan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Doug, very much. First of all, thanks for having me. Love being on Leadership Powered by Common Sense. So looking forward to a fun and engaging conversation. Thanks again.
So first, real quick, what's the title of the book you wrote?
So the book is called Better Listening, The Secret to Improving Your Professional and Personal Life.
Oh, wow. got both bases covered there, you know, there's not much else in between, right? Yeah. So, at the sake of maybe some level of embarrassment, what motivated you to go that direction and put that together?
Yeah, so, you know, so in my career in the wealth management arena, about 10 years ago, we were just in a major conference and someone mentioned this, says, you know, we are all really just not good listeners. We're just in this whole response mode. And I thought to myself, well, I thought I was a pretty good listener until I realized that I just was not allowing, okay, the people that I was working with to really, truly empty their buckets or to you know, to really share how they were feeling. And I was, we're constantly cutting off people while they're still talking. We know that one. We're also, and you mentioned this, we're thinking about what we want to say next while the other person is actually still talking. The funny one is that we're just not letting someone share kind of what's most important to them. And I started realizing that we were like listening to respond versus listening to understand. And that's really kind of where I thought the book was needed, because, you know, the premise is like we're pretty good listeners. Leaders are pretty good listeners. But the bottom line, I think, Doug, is that we can all be, all, both professionally and personally, just better listeners. And that's kind of why I was motivated to write the book.
You know, I, as you were saying that, I'm thinking about in the famous Seven Habits book, Stephen Covey brought out the idea. One of the principles is seek first to understand, then be understood. And listening is obviously a big part of that, you know, really hearing what someone else might may be saying before you try to push your agenda or push your message forward. And obviously it applies in many, many different walks of life, and certainly in the business world. You think about high dollar negotiations. Well, how many deals get blown up because the two parties just aren't listening to each other?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it reminds me, it's kind of like a story. I'll share this as like kind of like a common sense story. We could be with a group of people, just couples or friends out and everything, and someone starts telling the story and they're saying like, oh, we were out here, we were doing this. And the other person jumps in, the partner or the spouse, whatever, says, no, that it wasn't really that. We were really kind of going. It was kind of the weekend. And the person looks and then they keep going. Like, well, we went to this nice little quaint place, and the person jumps and says, wait, there was a big back room. It wasn't a quaint place. And finally, the person looks and says, wait, do you want to tell the story? I mean, obviously, you want to tell the story. So it's like that hijacking feeling that really gets people kind of awkward and uncomfortable, and not just in a social setting, but, you know, we know it in the restaurant and the trip business. Oh, I just went to Europe, and the person says, oh, you know what? I was in Italy last year. We love that. In fact, the food was great. And they start taking over the story before the person has a chance to share. 2 weeks ago, we have a restaurant that opened up in our area. And I was talking to a person. I said, yeah, we tried this new one. He goes, yeah, you know what, though? I tried that also. The service is not that great, but the food was okay. And I thought, I didn't even get a chance to even share anything about. And that's really what people, you know, people are wanting others to talk less and listen more, because they want to be heard. And two, we're missing a lot of the content of what's going on in our conversations today.
You know, I think I've told this story once before on the show, but I was reminded of there's a training in the world of professional networking. And somewhere there's a study that was done. A guy went into a big professional event, and basically, in his effort to work the room, he engaged with people, but he just perpetually kept asking questions of them. You know, well, what do you do? And where do you live? And how'd you get there? And what do you like? And what do you, and that was his intentional focus. He never volunteered anything about himself. He just kept talking or prompting these others to talk. And at the end of the event, there was a survey, like who was the most dynamic person in the room, and he came up the winner. And here, nobody knew anything about him, but they had a chance to be in the spotlight, and everybody valued that. Everybody loved it, so they rated him the best connector in the room.
Well, it's funny because you mentioned like Andy Stanley said that leaders who refuse to listen are surrounded by people with nothing helpful to say. And what's interesting is that when you're in a leadership position, like whether it's a networking or on a project, or you're just dealing with colleagues or employees, or just any area where you're trying to excel in that arena, the benefits of listening are going to create oftentimes more impactful communication. We know that. But you want to have also more meaningful dialogue or deeper conversations. And one of the tricks that I think we all fall into the fault is when someone says something to us in a conversation, we just respond. So the book, and the premise of it is to push the response mode deeper. That's really the key that makes a good leader maybe more into a great leader. And what do I mean by that? If it's okay, just to share, what happens is that if a leader is in a conversation and they just pause first, and then maybe they reflect a little bit more. So, okay, so it sounds like that you're, or it seems to be that, or the feeling that I'm hearing, so that the leader or the listener could make sure that they are on the same wavelength. But that's where the change happens. Instead of responding, they should actually clarify. So tell me a little bit more, or I want to understand a little bit more because this is a really big thing. And what happens is that speaker then goes into a much deeper, more meaningful conversation of what they're feeling, what they're trying to accomplish, what they're working on, so that before we respond, we have had a chance to reflect, clarify, pause, and also one more thing, empathize, which is that's the key in my book in chapter 7 of how empathizing adds to the total listening. So you really hear what, like today, what you're really wanting to share, what you're feeling, what really is most important. And then it allows for a much more meaningful response mode, and it's a good interaction. And again, they realize that you're listening to them, so it helps in terms of productivity and likability and all those things that leaders are looking for in their work and social place.
There's a trap in there that comes to my mind when you're trying to be that empathetic, genuine listener, and you're using all the phrases like, tell me more, this is what I'm hearing. Am I getting it right? Am I dialed into what you're trying to tell me? And you go through that exchange, and then you finally hit that window where it's your turn to genuinely say something about your mission or vision or direction you want to go or the instruction you want to give. They use but. You know, I heard all you everything you said, but. Well, but is a killer. It
Killer. Killer.
is
I like
a
to put and in there, right?
it's
And.
right. And that's exactly when I do my executive coaching, that's what I encourage people to do. It's I hear you, I see you, I know that, and here's another thought.
Yeah, Doug, that's the solution. And I think that's what we're talking about today is trying to find ways to improve listening. That's why it's called better listening, because we're trying to find ways. And with those small little tweaks, that creates a much better relationship between both the listener and the speaker. You know, here's the funny part. How many times do we come home, okay, or wherever we're at, and the person says, oh, we had a bad day at work, or it was a tough day at school? This could be for kids and parents. It could be for siblings that haven't talked to each other. It could be for employer, employee. It doesn't matter. And they're talking about it was tough. It was crazy. And you all of a sudden you hear the listener put that super cape on because they want to be the super solver. Okay, well, here, this is what it sounds like. Let me tell you what. When in reality, they didn't want that. They really wanted to vent. They wanted to kind of share what was going on. They weren't looking for us to solve right away. So how do you avoid that? And what really is a great way is sometimes when a person is talking or whatever relationship you're in, sometimes it's more like you may want to ask them, listen, do you want me to just listen to what's going on? Or would you like my input? Would you like my feedback after? And they'll actually tell you. And that way you excuse, because at the end of the day, the person says, I just wanted you to listen to me. I wasn't looking for you to solve my problems. This also happens with leaders at work. And it really a great way. And that is leaders are like thinking that they're listening. Okay. But when they do the feedback from employees or on projects, the surveys come back and says, you know, I just really am not sure if they're even listening to us, if they want our opinion, or if they even value our opinion, which is a big area right now on leaders trying to be better leaders and listeners. One of the great ways, the technique, is to actually ask them, listen, how do you want me, okay, to listen to what you're saying or to view on your views? Because, you know, how do you want me to give input, okay, to you so that we can make this project, we can make sure that we have a success or we're on the same plane. And sometimes leaders just have to do the common sense of having that conversation, which then also shows respect to the speakers. It also shows that the speakers are now valued, and the leader or the one, sometimes the owner or an employer or a head of an organization, they make themselves, okay, give themselves more leverage because they know that others are now being valued and that their opinions are wanted. So that's something that happens.
I agree with you totally on that. And you know, what that does challenge leaders to be able to do is get to know their people individually, because everybody's got a slightly different view of the world and the style and method. And they show up with different levels of emotional connection day by day. You know, it can change day over day. And so I would argue that the, you know, really enlightened and effective leader is tuned in for that and sensitive to that, and more importantly, willing to engage at that level. And I think that's the key thing. You know, there's still some guys in the world out there that are kind of my way or the highway sort of owners or operators. And the vast majority of all the psychological surveys that are being done, employee satisfaction, et cetera, it's coming back saying, I don't want to work for a guy like that. You know, I just,
right.
I'm out. I'm going to vote with my feet. I know it's, you know, the world's a strange place, but I'll take my chances somewhere else. I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. Well, that goes back to your podcast and your programs always talk about how do you turn the manager into a leader? Right.
Right.
How do you raise that elevation? And sometimes, you know, how do you handle overcoming the challenges or strengthening your performance teams? And I think that you're saying this is what the problem is. I think it is common sense, but the book and also, you know, authorities really come to talk about what are some of the tips, like what are some of the quick strategies that leaders can look at. First and foremost, and we know this, the distractions are greater and more numerous than ever. Okay. It's not just like looking at the cell phone. It's just distractions everywhere. And the problem is we're in a multifaceted and a multi-moving society. So you have to do three things at one time. So that's one thing, is to try to, you know, limit the distractions and things. The other thing is, like we talked about before, is give time to the others to respond. By the way, you can test this out with your friends in your next conversation. You'll all be talking and everyone's jumping in. No one is letting anyone finish, okay, a thought. And that's because we're not realizing that we could pause before respond. Silence is not bad. silence allows everyone just a few minutes. Great leaders. I mean, Larry King, okay, who I loved, you know, a great interviewer. He said, I remind myself every day that, you know, that nothing I say today will be anything that I will learn. So if I'm not going to learn anything, I might as well listen more, you know? And he used that, you know, and so many are similar to that, because letting that silence and then the reflection and then the clarification and then the empathy, you know, the empathy, by the way, I'll add just one thing. Great leaders will use empathy in a way of saying, hey, listen, you're not alone, okay, on this subject, or there's many people that are going through the same thing. Or when I view this and I hear what you're saying, you know, this is something that obviously is not just important to you, but many are going through this. So help me understand that more. Share with me a little more. That is the trigger of turning just active listening. That's your eye contact, right? And your body motions and your leaning in and checking in and your reflective listening, which is the things we just mentioned. You put empathy in the middle of those two, you have total listening. And I'll say it again. You take active and reflective and you add empathy in the middle and you have a total listening that 99% of people out there are not practicing. And yet, again, it could end up with more meaningful dialogue, better conversation. I'll share something real quick, a fast story. I got a feedback from the book from a CEO who's flying back. He says, I'm a CEO of a company that's growing. And I read your book and, you know, some great tips. And I also brushed off some things that I remembered and you kind of reminded me. But that's not what the review is. I got home and sat at the dinner table with my daughter. My daughter started telling me and I jumped in and I was about to give parental pontification, I think what the word was. And I stopped and I paused and I looked at her and I said, you know what? Tell me a little bit more so I get a better understanding. And she did. And then he was empathetic. He said in the review, I was a little empathetic. I kind of thought about it. I said, hey, that's okay. What else? And at the end of the conversation, she got up from the table, looked at me eye to eye and said, Dad, thank you for finally listening to me. That was the review of all, because it really tagged in. What he was saying was, we all do this in all of our relationships. And by just tweaking a couple things, it just changes the entire communication and conversation.
I think that, you know, is powerful. And I a couple of things you packed in there that I want to break down a little bit. Number one is the idea of being present in the moment. You started talking about all the distractions we deal with nowadays and just the way our brains get programmed to process. I routinely remind people that your reputation as a leader is not made in the big moment at the big town hall with all hands on deck. It's made moment by moment as you're interacting with the people that are in your organization and maybe directly on your team or peers and stakeholders that you serve. Your moment by moment interaction with them is what builds your reputation as a leader. And the whole listening element is such a big component of that effectiveness, because what do we quickly say when someone's in a position of authority and they come blowing through and they ask some questions and interrupt what you're trying to say and move on and they disappear? Well, your opinion of them as a leader is not very good. You're kind of going here. I can do with or without them. You know, I don't need that in my life. But when you find the leader who is available and dialed in, as you've described, with that level of empathy attached to it, you know, those are the guys and gals that get rated as really strong leaders.
Yeah.
People that want to follow, want to work for.
Yeah, and to your comment before, in terms of like the leaders and the minute by minute and how they're really being judged or being perceived in the immediacy, you know, this is where leaders also have to sometimes realize that it's not about their agenda. It's really not about, because a lot of times their agenda is just to go through the processes, and yet they're not getting that feedback. They're not getting that input. They're not getting the, you know, again, we know, what is it? We have two ears and one mouth for a reason, okay? So by listening more and maybe by talking less, they may know 90% of what their project is. That's another problem with leaders. Leaders will go and say, yeah, I'll listen, but they're not listening because it's already been prejudged. Okay, they already know what they want to do. So they're almost doing it as more just airtime, when in reality, that extra 10% is the difference between a good project and a great project. It's between landing the contract and getting the contract, you know, for sure. It's the difference between strengthening a retention of a client and maybe just having a one-time client. That 10, 15% of utilizing the people around them and learning and listening and reflecting and clarifying, that makes a difference in terms of maybe the, like what you were saying before, the impression of that leader, you know, right away, you know, yeah. and the judgment of how that leader is progressing.
Well, I would think in your world of wealth management, you have more than ample opportunity to have a customer come in with an agenda and an idea. And in the back of your mind, you're saying that's the worst choice you could possibly make under the current circumstances. And trying to find a way to professionally and tactfully work them off the ledge and into a more solid outcome, that's got to be a huge challenge.
Yeah, and I think it's not just wealth management. I mean, I would share that it would be also in your profession, in any profession. You know, there is an interesting question that a leader could ask. I think that makes a difference. It's in the book, and it's a question that doesn't have to be. And by the way, not just for leader for professional purposes, but you can do this even in personal relationships. And that question, which I heard this about 15 years ago, this is even before the book was even written, the question was, what is most important to you with regards to a relationship with a, and fill in the blank. So if I asked you, Doug, what's most important to you with regard to a relationship with a podcast interviewee, what would be one or two most important things, you know, in regards to the relationship of doing? What would you say, hypothetically?
Well, I would say I look for people that have a good story to share and meaningful message and the ability to deliver it.
Okay. And when you say have a good story to share, like even like real quickly, help me with that. Like just what else about that? Just to clarify.
Well, it does have to do with the subject area that we may agree to get into and talk about it. And I am a fan of not just being able to talk about facts and data, but, you know, tell stories about, you know, how did you get to that conclusion? How did you get involved in that idea? You know, why did you write the book? You know, those kinds of things that I think add a lot to it.
So that the reason I share that is think about that. So what I just learned about you and what's most important in your most passionate area, which is in terms of interviewing, I just realized that having a good story, having the right subject, being able to tell that story, sharing it in a way that makes sense, that's what leaders, I'm asking them to do, is ask that same question. When they're starting a project or when they're working with employees, when they're dealing with a potential relationship, to ask that one question, what is most important to you with regards to a relationship working with A, not him or her personally, not the company name, but just generally. The listener will share with you their most important things in a relationship. And if that person is listening and then they say, so tell me more about that. How does that work? Why is that important? Like you just said, the hows and the whys, then they could create an entire format that is now the premise, the infrastructure, the cornerstone of that relationship, because it's the most important thing to them, not the other person, not you, right. But them. And that's a really great way to open up, and then you find out, and then you come back, and that's how leaders have had a lot of success by using that by that question.
Well, and what comes to my mind along that line, again, I'll apply it to a business context. In large corporate world, when a manager is on a track of getting promoted, getting moved around to gain all the right experiences to be better leaders, they inevitably inherit a team. They really don't create a team. They get transferred, they get assigned, they're inserted into some unit of the business. And it often, I don't know what the real percentage would be, but if I had to swag out of my gut, it's like 90% of the time, that's your scenario. You might get asked to go build a line of business and start a team from scratch. That's great, and that can be yours. But that really, honestly, doesn't happen that often. Again, more often than not, you're inserted into a team as the new manager, and where do you go? What do you do? And I'm right there with you. I think it's important from day one to begin a process of meeting everybody on the team individually and mm-hmm. having that kind of discussion like you just described, getting to know who they are, how they look at the world, what do they value in the work they're doing, what are some hidden opportunities that they've never realized that, you know, they're hanging on to and hoping they can move into. If you can have a lot of those discussions, you can realize that somebody on my show last year talked about zone of genius. Each one of us have, the argument was each one of us have a certain zone of genius. And we do our best work, we make our biggest contributions to the world around us if we can operate in that zone of genius. Well, when it comes to a work situation, unless you're really specifically working hard to understand and evaluate those elements of each of your people, you don't really know what their zone of genius is. So you might say something like, hey, Stan, I need you to go look through the archives for the last 3 years and find these five things. And if I knew your zone of genius, you might be a guy that says, I hate doing paperwork. I don't want to look at paperwork, right. You know? Yeah. And even though that might be the assignment, if your team's big enough, you might realize you've got somebody that loves that kind of an assignment. They feel like a super sleuth when you give them that chance, you know?
Yeah.
And if you can align those assignments that way to better serve individual zones of genius, you're going to have a whole lot better production on your team and a much higher morale.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because it goes back to like that, you know, great leaders are great listeners. You know, we talk about that, but they know their best assets. They know who they're working with. And if they can lead those, you know, those assets, those resources, those skill sets by listening and by taking in their output, their productivity, their communication, their environment, their retention. I mean, I can keep going, all of those. The number one reason in the wealth management arena, Doug, why relationships leave the relationship is not because ever of like performance or product line. It's because the lack of communication. They feel that they are not being heard, that their best interests are not really being listened to. And that continues to be the number one. So, and that's not just this industry, it's all industries. And it's also relationships. I will tell you that the book really focuses also, because when we're done with our day, we have to go home and we're with our loved ones and our family and our friends. And there's a lot of strained relationships out there right now for a lot of different reasons. And I'm sure that you probably cover that in many of your other, you know, your episodes. But the goal is I want to be invited back to the Thanksgiving dinner, okay? I want to be able to go into a room and feel a warm welcoming. And the only reason that may not happen sometimes is that sometimes the person says, you know, he's just not listening, or he's never listening, or he doesn't hear us, or, you know, he's just, you know, you're not getting it, you know? And those are quick tidbits saying that the person is crying out to be heard. And all we need to do is, you know, pause a little bit, reflect a little bit, open up, pay attention, move some of the distractions away. And what we find is better relationships. There's one thing. Once they know that you're listening to them and you're talking less, not only will they appreciate it, but you'll appreciate it more and you'll also be happier. You know, there's a great book called Good to Great. Good leaders are good. Great leaders, okay, have likability. Okay, have connectability, have compassion, and are also great listeners.
Correct. Yeah. And I have shared before that I was working with a large corporate brand a few years ago, and they just concurrently had a company-wide employee satisfaction survey that came out. One of the interesting tidbits that came out of that survey, and it was very indicative of the culture at the time. Everybody at every level said, I wish my boss was more relatable. And it went all the way up the organization. I mean,
why do you think that? Why do you think that happened?
The legacy of the company was they were heavy oriented in engineering. And so it was very analytical, very programmatic, very process oriented. And it was just chop, 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 you know, and everybody got into a mindset. And for the executives I was dealing with, I was dealing at the so-called L2 and L3 levels, you know, just down from the C-suite. And when that study was shared with me, I got to looking at it. I started asking the question, why do you do what you do today? You know, the whole aura or the mode of operation, why have you embraced that? And without exception, in told slightly different ways, the answer was, because that's what the guy before me did.
Okay.
And she was deemed successful in this organization, so I aspired to be that way. And and you know, it's like wrong. You know?
Yeah. Not a good first imprint on that one.
And so, you know, I asked these leaders, well, now that you know this, your people are asking you to be more relatable. What do you think you can do about it? And they said, well, you know, I could, there's room in the margin here. I could try to have a little more fun at work. You know, I could engage a little bit longer when I'm with people, you know, and not just be so staccato, you know, just chop, chop, chop. Let's give me an answer. Let's go. Let's move. And, you know, and so they all kind of started working that direction of being a little more open, a little more communicative while they were there. And one other kind of element that came out of that swirl, it's not directly related to listening so much as it is communicating. I challenged them all to start using what I called the bookend method when they go out. It was very classic. Leaders would have something on their mind, they would have a request from above, and they would go out to their team and they would fire off these questions, you know, where are we on this project or where are we on that? Who's doing this? What's that? It was just these really bullet, you know, rifle shot type questions. And you could see the look on the people's face. They would respond, but then when the leader turned around and walked off, the person's going, I wonder what that was about, you know, why did he ask me that? This is kind of, so I came up with this bookend approach that told the leaders, you need to lead into the question. You need to give a little preface, you know, and even if it's something like, hey, I got a call from the headquarters, they need to know X, where are we, blah, 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 you know, then you can ask your question, but then close the bookend by saying, you know, good, perfect. That's what I need. That's all I need. You know, no worries. Yep. We're good. And give that little bit of feedback about what it meant, because I watched, like I said, I watched people walk away from those exchanges and they've got nothing but, if it was a cartoon, they'd have all the question marks in the air above their head, you know, like what's going on? Or, you know, are we changing gears? Are we killing this project?
Well, Doug, what's interesting is that feedback and that communication, or trying to improve the communication, is obviously very important. One of the things that we know we need to do, we know, in fact, we were taught this and we're all, you know, we're all in the same industries, especially if you're in a sales or you're in a relationship industry, you have to ask yourself at the end of the day, did I ask enough open-ended questions during the day to allow for the conversation to continue more than just a yes or no, or a nod, or a, oh yeah, got it, or yeah, no problem. Did I ask enough so that I allowed not just the person to speak? Because there is a couple questions that come up with leaders and says, what if I just can't listen to this person for an hour and a half every time, you know? I mean, I have to stop, or I have issues that I don't think that they're good. They're you know, their content or their listening skills, I have to deal so that I have a timing, in fact. So two things to think about. One, open-ended questions. really have to be checked in. You have to check in with yourself and to say, did I use that in this conversation so that I was able to understand enough, get enough? And if not, okay, I need to kind of go back, okay? Number two, if you're in a situation where you're dealing with not good listeners yourself, meaning they're not good listeners, the leader has to check in, okay? They have to check in so that if the leader is giving direction or if a leader is giving a project or if the leader is running an organization, they have to check in with their listeners and say, hey, listen, I just covered this. Before we move on, I want to get some feedback. What did you hear me say? What do you think we covered? What were some of the key points that I need to make sure I'm emphasizing and focusing on so that we're all on the same page before I move on? Okay. So that's one great tip for that. The other one is the person that doesn't stop talking or they can't, then the leader starts tuning them out a little bit. They stop paying attention or they go and prejudge like, oh, here we go. Another hour conversation, you know, they have to stop. And that's where they need to put the reflection in. Or they have to stop and say, you know what? I understand that. And I got that so far. Let me just make sure I'm understanding. It sounds like, and then they can stop it, redirect it and move it on. So leaders have to be a little bit more proactive in the listening techniques and processes, not feeling that they're, you know, upsetting someone or they're moving something to a way that a speaker is not feeling comfortable. They need to move it more again to their accomplishing, not only just their agenda, but also that it moves it so that it's productive. And those are a couple ways, you know, open-ended questions, chiming in, checking in, and that way everybody stays on the same page and then it kind of moves forward. So I don't know if that's helpful, but that's a couple things.
Totally. Very, very, very wise words there. And somewhere in the mix of this, I thought of the other famous old saying that says, better to be silent and thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt.
You know what? I'm using that in my next book, if that's okay.
I think it might have been attributed to Ben Franklin, but I don't recall it. You know, it's an old one. But and of course, that's not for the person trying to be a better listener. That's the person trying to be a better communicator. You know, sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes we kill our own ideas with talking too much. In my early banking days, I was pitching a big project we needed to do internally at the bank, and I had made it up through the chain and got audience with the president of the bank. It was a big enough spin that he had to give final approval. And we're talking and talking and talking and not really that long. And he just says, okay, I get it. I like it. It's approved. Well, I kept talking and he stopped me. He literally put his hand up and he said, Doug, he said, I'm going to teach you a principle they told us in sales school. Don't sell past the close.
That's very famous. Yes. Very famous.
And I said, yes, sir, I got it. I picked up my stuff and I couldn't get out of that room fast enough.
Yeah. No, it's good. You know, I would share just, and it's a story that kind of goes back to like, you know, what was one thing that like, you know, that caught me by surprise, you know, in my career, in my industry. And it was interesting because I was sharing what what I thought they needed to hear. I was going to give my advice and tell them what they need to know and everything. And I forgot that I was not really hearing from them what was most important to them. And when they did respond, I was responding back. It was like a response contest. And that's what I really took from this whole exercise, even writing the book or even, you know, talking about this more. And that is, if I allow that person, whatever really, so personal or professional, if I allow that person to share, okay, what is not just on their mind, but what is also most important to them or what they are really feeling deeper than their surface response, which is the key, then I can move them past just a surface response, which is what they're used to doing in our world of communication today, and allows them to go a little bit deeper, thoughtful, okay, which actually helps me as the listener understand better. So I'm not just giving them an audience to share. I'm actually doing it so that I can understand, so that I can make a much better response back or a communication or a clarification. And again, that's where I think leaders do a good job, but they can do a better job. by letting that person move from just their response mode into a deeper, you know, dialogue or and a deeper conversation.
Good point. Good point. Well, Stan, I think we're about up on time here. Thank you so much for sitting in and sharing this really good stuff. Tell the folks the best way to get a hold of you.
So real simple, because it's the title of the book. So again, it's Better Listening, The Secret to Improving Your Professional and Personal Life. You could actually go and order if you want to read the book. And I would love to hear feedback, especially if you pick up one good nugget that's helpful. You can go to betterlisteningbook.com. You could also go on Amazon and look up Better Listening by Stanford Slovin. And you could also email me if you have any comments. I would love to hear your feedback to betterlisteningbook@gmail.com. So that's how you can reach me. Doug, I absolutely appreciate being on the show. I love the content that you are delivering. Thank you for being so helpful to leaders. But most importantly, I hope it was enjoyable for you.
Well, It certainly was for me, and I'm sure the listeners are going to enjoy it as well. But thank you one last time, Stan, for sitting in and being with us. Folks, as always, we will have those links that Stan shared. They'll be in the show notes, so just click down wherever they might be. And I do like to remind you, if you're listening on your favorite streaming, we do have a video version of this over on YouTube, channel by the same name, Leadership Powered by Common Sense. Hop over there, check out the archives, give us some feedback, let us know what you think. And if you've got ideas for new subjects or ideas that we haven't talked about yet, drop me a line. Let me know that. Would love to have you in. With that, we're going to sign off, say goodbye, and go out there, make it a great day.
You've been listening to Leadership Powered by Common Sense, hosted by Doug Thorpe. If you would like to know more about the coaching and advisory services he provides, visit DougThorpe.com.